Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible, the Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace. And we're excited for the ones that are here today. It's a beautiful day outside, and every day in Christ Jesus should be a beautiful day, shouldn't it?
Amen.
You know, it could be just gloom and doom and all that, and wrath and judgment. Well, we see enough of that from the modern day man coming down on us, but we know the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and the Father sent his Son to die for us, and we can rejoice in it always. We're going to sing on something, in the Red Books 175, Standing on the Promises of God, or Standing on the Promises, and we're going to sing the first three verses. Number 16. The choir did not practice this week, so we just got the piano man or woman.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through the eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, we can make promises all day. I tell people all the time, don't make a promise to me. I'll hold you to it. But anyway, we are thankful that the promises of God is what will not fail. Amen?
Amen.
And if we trust Christ, Jesus died for your sins today and was buried and rose again, that's a promise that he sent us, and he seals us and he saves us for eternity. And you know, we talk about Abraham promises and dispensation promise, which we're going to maybe touch on a little bit today, but we are thankful that we have God's promise. We're in lesson 49, and as we've been working through the Bible, the dispensational view of fundamentals of dispensationalists, we have narrowed the contents of this very thick book, if you will, of down to three basic principles. And when you're studying the Bible, you need to take it literally. You need to compare verse with verse, and you need to what?
Rightly
divide it. And there's a lot of things we will go over in the next several classes or courses or lessons and all. If you can see our group here, they're studiers. I'm talking to ones on the internet and all. So we would encourage you to come with us or open your Bible and study along with us. But the three principles, and we have most recently studied rightly dividing the word. And there are two issues in right division, and we just finished the first one. But right dividing its structure. And we have done this by using a Pauline design And what is the Pauline design in the Bible to study the Bible? Was that
right
and divided? But there's also, we know, go to Ephesians chapter 2. You cannot get by this, and you can, you can go around it. What we say before, there's three ways. You either rightly divide, wrongly divide, or don't divide at all. That's not the three basic divisions in Pauline's epistles. That's the way the world looks. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. So in times past, there was a group of people, circumcision and uncircumcision. Mm-hmm. And if you have a chart and you're following along, if you've seen this chart before, this top line deals with the circumcision. The bottom line deals with the uncircumcision. So in times past, God made that distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. And then so what time period is that?
Time passed.
Then you keep reading, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's a bad disadvantage to the Gentiles back there. But if you know Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and chapter 3, somebody had the advantage. Who was that?
Israel.
There's circumcision. They had the advantages of God, and the Gentiles had the disadvantages of God. But verse 13 says what? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the what?
Blood
of Christ. So, times past, but now we're made nigh. But now the spiritual law is gone. But now the physical law is gone. But now the legal wall is gone. There literally a wall was there. Then in verse 7 it says that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So the threefold division of Pauline design is time past, but now, and ages to come. And that's very, very important. And you think about, we also saw five dispensations. I know what Schofield says. I know what Larkin says. They say seven dispensations, don't they? I even made a poem one time about seven dispensations and which one was you in. But the thing is, and what do we look at the dispensations? Can you name them?
Promise.
Innocence, promise.
No, that's Schofield's view, Larkin's view. There ain't no innocence. What's the five dispensations that we've been looking at?
Promise, law, grace.
Israel.
That's the nation.
Kingdom. And fullness of times.
There it is. Got it? Dispensation of promise given to Abraham. Dispensation of law from Moses to Paul or Christ. From Christ to the rapture is dispensation of grace. From rapture to the judgment is dispensation of kingdom. And then you have the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's five dispensations in your Bible that Paul identifies with. And we went over this before, and she gets an apple for the day, okay?
Panera for lunch, apparently.
But anyway,
so
you got in time past, the distinctions between the circumcision and uncircumcision. God made that distinction. Genesis through Malachi. We all automatically know that's time past, don't we? We automatically think about the Old Testament. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is also time pestilence. Old Testament, time past.
Yes.
Because he's still under law. I say this before and I'll say it again, and you can look it up for yourself. Until the death of the testator, Hebrew says, there is no testament. So your testament is not done until you die. Last will and
testament.
Okay, that's the last thing you say is your will. So it's not, it don't go in effect until you what?
Die.
So last book of Matthew, last book of Mark, last book of Luke, last two chapters, chapters of John is when the Lord Jesus Christ died. So he was under the law, right? So even that is in times past. And then we look at the first early part of Acts. They're also in times past. Then you look at the but now we was talking about. But now, salvation goes to the Gentiles. The introduction of the body of Christ. There's no distinction in the but now. Israel has fallen. They're diminished. They're done away with. They're cast away. They're down here with everybody else. Keep in mind, who is those Israelites that's fallen?
The lost Israelites.
Very good. The lost Israelites, because the saved ones that heard the little flock, they're in the little flock. They're in a kingdom program. They're not going to lose that. They're not going to get out of it. But there was a group of people that did not believe God's word. That's why when he came over here, they were so adulterated. They were so fixated. They were so fornicating with other religion that when the Lord Jesus Christ came at the right time, they did not identify him as a nation. You got to remember, God created Israel. That's his child. That's his son. And that's who he worked with all through times past. And that's Romans through Philemon, where you find no distinction. And people get so mixed up, and religion will mix this up to where they want you to be become part of spiritual Israel, and they try to elevate you up here where they was. That's error. Okay? That's why you better know your book and not take scriptures and apply this and apply that. We was talking about the other day how people,
spiritualized.
Not only spiritualized, but they call us Bible choppers. You're chopping up the Bible, that type of thing. No, you're not. You're rightly dividing it. You're allowing scriptures to say what it means and mean what it says. Then you have ages to come over here. Guess what goes back up we looked at? Right. The middle wall partition goes back up, and tribulation happens, and the second advent, a millennium kingdom, and the great white throne of judgment. That's Hebrews through Revelation. That's ages to come. If you know your Bible, is that going to be good? This first part in here, is that going to be good for people?
No.
It's not going to be good for people. So why in the world would you want to take a chance and think you're going to get a chance, a second chance? How many has thought about that, by the way? Like, you know, like say, hey, if I don't get baptized, if I don't get saved, if I don't get join a church, I got a second chance after the rapture's out here. I used to think that. If I didn't get it right this time, I'll get it right next. Don't believe that. God sends a strong delusions, and you're going to believe a lie. And who's the father of lies pops up over here. And you're going to follow that. It's going to be a bad time if you're lost. If you miss the glory train taken out of here, it ain't going to be fun and games over there. Mm-mm. You see people all the time out there in the world that just don't care. You ever notice that? They just don't care. They don't. Hey, you just do what you ever think, whatever you want to think. Your heart should burn for people like that because they have no hope. They have no promise. They're without God. And that's scary, isn't it? So we saw the structure works, for example, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Christ. What does the book of Matthew presents Christ as?
King.
King. What does Mark present Christ as?
Servant.
What does Luke present Christ as?
Son of man.
The man.
Son
of man. And God. And John presents Christ as
God.
And he was manifest there. He's God. I was talking to a brother down in Carolinas, and they're talking about, you know how you talk about the Gospel of John? You know, you say the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke. You know the word Gospel is not found in the book of John? But yet people want to call it the gospel. And gospel means good news, you know, that type of thing. But anyway, we also studied the structure of the book of Acts, showing that Peter is the head of one part and Paul is the second part. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think Paul just picked up where Peter left off and continued carrying that kingdom message all the way across. That's error. It's a transition book. Then in Romans through Philemon, there's a structure. And it's also true, as we always seen, that it's just seen through Hebrews, through Revelation. God's word is structure. And you have to have structure in his word to understand what he's doing. If you build your house upon the book of Acts, your foundation, it's shifting. It's moving. It's a transition book. And guess what your foundation is going to do? It's going to fall. But we also know that when Peter and them built on their foundation was built on Christ. Paul's foundation was built on Christ. And we looked at this. If you want to go back and look in the book of Romans study, it's talking about a duplex. Christ is the foundation. You had Peter in this side of a house. You had Paul in this side of the house. And you had the scripture of the prophets that's put the lid on it. So that's a duplex. Anybody know what a duplex is?
Mm-hmm.
There's two people living in the same foundation, right? Two type of people. So you ought to be able to do that structure in your sleep now. You should be able to close your eyes and say, okay, time passed, but now they just come. I know Tom, I was talking to Tom yesterday. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Tom said he's going to draw out his time chart, showing this lady how to walk through the Word of God time chart. You can do that in your own, in your head right now. You should be able to say, time passed, but now an age is to come. And once you understand where these things fit and how the Word of God works together, itself together, you're ready to study the verses in the passage. I don't want to pick on Tom, but he told me he's reading through the Bible and Hosea and how he's just learning stuff that you missed before. Because why? You know where it fits. You know Isaiah is written for a time period over here. You know Matthew, when Matthew was written, everybody wants to take the book of Matthew and apply it to you today. It's a kingdom book that they're going to be able to use over here and understand the benefits of the kingdom, the constitution of the kingdom. So we got to think about that. And if you take something from Matthew or Luke, for instance, and do not fully understand the passage, you will at least know where it fits. Just like what I said. You know, when you look at Matthew, when he says, go not into the way of the Gentiles and to the Samaria, enter ye not to any city. Now, you think he was talking to you?
No.
When he commissioned the 12, he said, go not. So, we got to go into the world, share the gospel. We got to be missionaries. We take this verse, but he didn't tell you that. So you got to think about that, where it fits in right division. Then you will be prepared to rightly divide the word of God as it pertains to the subject matter. Listen, it's truth with truth. It's not truth from error. We know what error is, but the whole Bible, is the whole Bible truth?
Yes.
Whole Bible's truth. You ever did this? Hold your Bible up and grab, take a, Acts, get to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Well, you take the book of Acts. It's a whole book of Acts in your left hand. And Romans through Philemon in your right. And fold them in like this. Fold them in to each other. And you should have this. Okay, see what I did?
Mm-hmm.
See that? You take Acts, fold it in, take, and you think about that right there. That's in the heart of God's word comes a redemption plan for you and I. This is where you and I are at right now. And you got times past, but now, and ages to come. And when you understand where you're at in the heart of God's word for the body of Christ is where you're fitting at. So that should make help you out when you when you're looking at subject matters. And the second issue is in right division, and this one will deal with most of the time here, is rightly dividing scripture and subject. That's what we're going to look at. We ain't going to get through it today, but we're going to look at that time zone. And if you have all the subjects and do not know where they fit on the big picture, you're going to have difficulty understanding right division. And you should move from the big picture down to the smaller items and work from there into some understanding. Like, we got the big picture, right? It's on the big screen. You know time passed, but now and ages to come. You should know that by now. I used to sit back there in the late 90s when we was introduced to this, and I'm like, God, are there anything else but right divide the word? Paul, are there anything else? I did that. I was like, tell me something new. Tell me what I don't know. As if I knew it all. I didn't know nothing. But when you talk about the big picture, you can see the big things. Now, my understanding is, I could be a dumber and box rocks. But my understanding is you've got a big view like this. Then you get a bachelor's degree. It kind of puts it on your shoulders a little bit, kind of narrows it down. Then you get a master's degree, and it comes in about right here. You know what I'm talking about? It starts narrowing things down. If you know that people's got masters and what's the next one after that?
Doctor
degree. You know they're like, well, this. And they hone straight in on something. And they know how to read. And they know how to look at something. I'm like, just keep it simple. just keep it simple. And I can work through that. And God's word should be simple. But first, when you rightly divide according to the scripture, then subjects. And we will introduce five rules about how to deal with right division of the subject of scriptures dispensationally. Now, it may, just bear with me with this, because it can help us to study a little bit more and how to hone in on those subject matters. Because you might be talking with somebody and they say, well, it says right here Jesus died for many. That type of thing. And Matthew. He died, his blood was shed for many. And I noticed Barb just put her glasses on, but I was going to say many of us has glasses on in here. But all of us don't. So are you the part of the many? Or the ones without the glasses of part of many? So you have to hone in on that subject matter and say, wait a minute, let's look at this rightly dividing word of truth. Because he shed his blood for many. Mm-hmm. You get to understand he died for all till Paul talks about he shed his blood for all. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I was joking with y'all a little while ago about I haven't had the first cup of coffee yet, and my wife bought me some. I took five sips out of it, and I feel like I'm idling pretty fast right now, so I'm going to slow down. I'm going to back down a little bit, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, there's three classes of people in that verse, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to rightly divide the word in regards to, one, the Jews, two, the Gentiles, three, the church, the body of Christ. You see that? Because if you don't, you'll put them all together in one lump sum and think it's all to you and for you and all that. All of it, all the Bible's for us, but is all of it literally to you?
No.
No, it's not, because you're going to be lying to yourself. And there are three or four questions considering a golden key to Bible understanding. One, this is very simple. Who wrote it? Or who's speaking? Sometimes there's a difference between who wrote it and who's speaking. For instance, who wrote Genesis chapter 3? Moses did. However, Satan speaks in Genesis chapter 3, don't he? And Eve talks, and the Lord talks in Genesis chapter 3. And if Satan says, "Ye shall not surely die," that is scripture and is infallible truth, that it is what he said. But it is recorded as a lie. Okay? And that is why it's important to know who wrote it. Because if you think Satan wrote Genesis chapter 3, and he's a liar, is it infallible word of God?
No.
No, it's not. That's why Moses wrote, God told Moses what to write. You know, that type of thing. You understand? So you really need to know not only who wrote it, but who's speaking in that context. Then you think about number two. You think about to whom was it written? And to whom was it spoken? That's a big key for me to understand. Well, who's he talking to here?
Gentiles.
And who's he talking to there? You know what I mean? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. So as you read, as you're reading in Paul's epistles, ask whether it is something Paul said, or is it, as in Titus 1, a quote from a proverb of the Cretans. Paul talked a lot of Roman stuff and Cretan stuff, but you got to know who did it. Is it infallible? Who is it written to? That's a big thing. When I think about Paul's apostle, if Paul's your apostle and he wrote Romans to Philemon, then he wrote some books to you. Then you look at when was it written? That's a big key part too, isn't it? If it was written over here in times past about a promise, about the law, and you think it was written over here, that's wrong. That's error. Five rules to follow. One part of the past is not to be read into another part of the past. There are times there is progression of revelation to be observed. Matthew chapter 10. Get Matthew chapter 10. I think we just touched on this a few seconds ago. Get Mark 16.
Mark 16?
Yes, sir. Matthew 10, 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not." Now it's very clear that Matthew 10, their ministry is restricted from going to the Gentiles, right? And to the Samaritans. Now compare that with what Jesus Christ spoke to the same 11 in Mark 16, 15. How you know there was 11? Where's the 12th one at?
Behind himself.
Well, it says verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the
11.
Not 12. Judas is gone. He hadn't been replaced yet. Verse 15. And he said unto you.
Them.
He said unto ye. Mm-mm. He said unto thee.
Them.
He said unto thou.
No.
He said unto them. Now, who's the them there?
The 11.
The 11, yeah. And above, on the top of my page, right there, I've got parentheses around them. On top of it, I got 11. That's who he's talking to. If not, he would say, you would have people saying, them. Or they just totally ignore that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every what?
Preacher.
Now, what gospel would that be?
Gospel.
The gospel of the grace of God.
No.
The kingdom.
The gospel of the son's circumcision.
No.
The gospel of the, what is it, Barb?
The kingdom.
That's the gospel that they knew. That's the gospel that they're going to preach. In Matthew 10, they're only to preach to the nation Israel and not to the Gentiles. And in the post-resurrection commission given to Mark 16, they're going to preach to what? Every creature. We've seen this without question that the two passages are still in what time frame?
Time passed.
And there's some progression within the dispensation, and you got to carefully write and divide the instructions even within the dispensation. You got to know, say, okay, what gospel? Because I'll share this with you, and you probably already know, Colossians chapter 1. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, ground it and settle, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached in every creature under which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, made a minister. What gospel is that?
God.
And it was preached to every creature. And you got to think about Matthew 24 when they asked him, when shall the end come? And what did he tell them? When the gospel of the kingdom was preached to every creature in the world, then shall the end come. Now, you do realize people out there that says Paul is preaching the same gospel as Peter and them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just read a verse that says that this gospel has been preached to every creature under the heaven. Why ain't the end come?
Different gospel.
You ever thought about that? So you better know how to rightly divide the word of truth in the word of truth. Because people say, God made a mistake. He just contradicted himself. There's no contradictions in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's contrast. So you got to really think about that. John chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's a difference that we talked about Matthew 10 and Mark 16, and the difference in John 12, 32, when Jesus said, look at John chapter 12, verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, that's on Calvary's cross, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he shall die. So when he's up on that cross, he knows that he's going to draw all men to him. Because look, when you talk about right division and you talk about teaching right division, what is the gospel Christ saves you today?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
The cross, death, burial, and resurrection. Christ died for your sins according to scriptures and was buried and rose again according to scriptures. Third day according to scriptures. What scriptures would Paul be saying, talking about? Well, no, a lot of people say when you talk about the mystery, when we, they will say the mystery was that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again.
That wasn't a mystery.
That was not a mystery. He just told you, when I go to the cross, I'll draw all men to me. In Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, Psalms 2. Have you ever read what Genesis chapter 3:15 says? That's the gospel of God, that he's going to come and send a redeemer to pay for mankind. So the cross, the death, burial, resurrection that Paul talks about is not a mystery. That's what I'm trying to say. So Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, I'll go up on the cross, I'll be lifted up on the earth, and I will draw all men to me, he's signifying that death, burial, resurrection. Because if you don't believe in death, burial, resurrection, you have no eternal life. But it's not a mystery that he was going to die. It was buried, rose again. I talked to loved ones in the past. They go, the mystery is that he, no, I said, no, it's not. That's Genesis 3:15, that he's got to send a redeemer to redeem mankind. Only he can do that. And after Christ dies, the ministry will not change, but it will expand. Therefore, just because you are in times past, don't think that everything is going on to be just like it always was, because there is a progression of revelation that takes place. Progressively, people's revealing stuff. You know, you ever thought about the things that Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the 12, and they still had no understanding? Mm-hmm. And you're like, and you read about it, like, are you that dumb that you couldn't follow Jesus? You had them. They didn't know. They saw him. They felt. That's why we're. You think about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things
not seen.
If you can see it, it's no longer faith. So our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't see him die. We didn't see him buried. We didn't see him rose again. But our faith in this book and what we've read is that he did. Now look, number two, the past is not to be read into the future. Excuse me, present. Allow the present progressive revelation. The program in time past was the program of the law. Keep the commandments for righteousness. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 6. How y'all doing on that? Not too good. By the law is the righteousness of God. And the program in the but now and is a program of grace, but by the law is the knowledge of sin, that you are not under law, but under grace. And you're like, law's not a bad thing, guys. Law's not bad. It brought you to a schoolmaster. Before the law was, sin was not, knowledge of sin. You ever know, you think about that? So when you're little kids, before you teach them right and wrong, they have no knowledge of the law. They have no knowledge of wrath of Ed coming down on them. You know, that type of thing. And when that wrath comes down on them, they're like, ooh, I better straighten up. I better go far right. How many of y'all, when you was a kid, was straight, flying right, straight around your mom and dad's? You know, many of us was, you know? And then you went to, even like, how about school? How about under the principal? And teachers, you kind of knew there, but when that principal walked by, or you walked down and you saw that principal, then you kind of go like this a little bit and straighten up, got out of his way, that type of thing. We had a principal, when he saw you gathering down in the, he had a paddle, and he'd swing that paddle, get to class. And that bing, 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 bing. And you, like bowling pins, getting out of the way. That's how he wanted to see respect for him and stuff. But what I'm getting at is the law, by the law is knowledge of sin, for you are not under law but under grace in the dispensation of grace. So you can't read, you can't put this over here into this. You're mixing it up. That causes confusion. Galatian problem was trying to bring the law program into the grace program. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how, well, If you hold your, get Galatians chapter 2. I'll get ready to close here in a second. Galatians chapter 2 and Acts 15. Get Acts 15. Galatians' problem is trying to bring a law program into the grace program. Acts chapter 15. Now, when Paul the apostle get saved?
Chapter 9.
Okay. And then Acts 9 to Acts 15 is how many chapters?
Six.
Six, okay. So a lot of things has happened by then. Look at verse 1. A certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be washed. Unless you're circumcised and up here on this top line, he says you can't be saved. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them shall go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now who's in Jerusalem?
Peter and the group.
Okay.
Now why ain't they in Rome? Why ain't they in, what do they call them, China?
The whole world to go to Jerusalem.
What did y'all find out in Acts, about Acts chapter 7, what was going on in the church? They're scattered. But what did the 12 do?
They stayed there expecting Jesus to come back.
That's right. Because what happened? Well, they knew Jerusalem was the city of God. Where's Jesus Christ going to come back at?
Going to be there.
So they should think, it kills me how people talk about they went here. So where's he going? Where's Paul going? To Jerusalem to do what? To talk about what this guy was saying.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. Now look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says this. And I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Where are you?
I'm in chapter 1, verse 11.
Chapter 1.
And we're going to chapter 2 in a second. I told you to go to chapter 2.
Yeah.
But I said look at chapter 1, verse 11, I think. For $3.99, you can buy the tape and review it all you want. Just joking. But look, so Paul was saying, I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Received what and taught what?
Revelation of the gospel.
The gospel.
The gospel of the grace of God, okay? This is what Paul was received. He didn't receive it after man. Well, what man would that be?
The man Christ Jesus.
No, he says, I neither received it of a man.
Right.
What man would it be that he didn't get it from?
Peter and the group.
Anybody that taught, Galilea, all these people that taught this philosophy, Hebrew stuff, Peter, James, John. I always think it's Peter, James, John. For ye have heard of my conversation time past in Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted, and profited in Jewish religion above many equals in my own nation, before more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of father. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. What mother's womb is he talking about there?
Israel.
He's not talking about a physical, his mom. He's talking about being separated from Israel. He called him out, okay? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I confirmed not with what?
Flesh and blood.
So when God called him out on the road to Damascus and said, told Ananias, he's going to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the Jews. That's the opposite of what Israel's supposed to do. They're supposed to go to Israel, the kings, and then the Gentiles. And you're like, okay, they're going to all meet in the middle, that type of thing. But that's not the case. He still didn't confer with flesh and blood. So he knew when he got struck down on the road to Damascus, what did he look up and said, what did he call Jesus?
Lord.
Lord.
He knew who God was.
Mm-hmm.
But this Jesus, he goes, who I am Jesus. And he's like, uh-oh. he's a guy that I've been, you know, kicking around out here.
Yeah,
having threatened letters. But he goes on and says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He still didn't go to Jerusalem. Who's in Jerusalem again? The apostles.
The 12 apostles.
Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other than apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Okay, now look. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, how many years has gone by there?
14 and plus the three.
There's 17 years he's been out there. Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. Now, who's Titus? You know who Timothy is. Who's Titus?
He was a Jew.
Another helper.
No, Titus.
Well, hang on a minute. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he's going to meet with them privately. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a
Greek,
was compelled to be circumcised. Now, what was the issue in Acts chapter 15?
You might be too Greek.
To be what? So here's Paul going up to Jerusalem, carrying a Greek with him that's not uncircumcised.
That's not circumcised.
That's not circumcised. You think he might be in a little trouble up there when he pulls them people in there? I would think so.
Well, they obviously tried to convince Titus to be circumcised.
Well, that's what the issue is. Look, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into
bondage.
Put us back under the law.
Close.
Verse 5. To whom we gave place of by subject, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So he brought Titus in there that's not circumcised. People's looking at him that's circumcised. Wants to put them under bondage. Like, why ain't he circumcised?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm telling you, because the gospel of Christ, the gospel that I preach to the heathen, is the gospel that saves today, and you don't have to go back under that bondage. That's basically what he's saying. Then he says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they are, make it no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat at in conference added what?
Nothing to me.
I love that verse. You don't know how many times we've been down this road with people talking in a sense that, oh, but you got to have water baptism.
Yeah.
Or you got to be tithing. Or you got to join this. They added nothing to me. When you know this truth, That's why I said it's very, very important. When you stand in for this word of God and you know this truth, you can be, you know, you can listen to it, but should they add anything to you? Y'all, most of y'all came out of a religious system that knows there was error in it. You think they're going to convince you to add anything to you now? Verse 7, contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. How many gospels right there?
Two.
Gospel of the uncircumcision committed to Paul, the gospel of circumcision Peter. Go to verse 9 for a second. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and that we should go to the heathen, and they to what?
The circumcision.
That council, they got together. Paul went up to them and said, you guys ain't going to add nothing to me. But contrariwise, the gospel of the uncircumcision that was committed me, and the gospel of the circumcision was committed Peter, Jesus Christ worked that in them. Verse 8 goes, the reason I did that, the parentheses, you jump down for a second. Verse 8 says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleships of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the
Gentiles.
Jesus Christ is working that in them. They're not working it on themselves. So think about that for a second. When those people are trying to put those Galatians under law. And 95% of the confusion that reigns in the churches today comes from making that same mistake. You know any people out there in the mistakes today?
Sure.
Hundreds of them, thousands of them. We're going to stop there. Next week, we're going to continue on this law of grace illustration of things. But you got to think about we today in the dispensation of grace has a gospel of the grace of God, that God is dispensing grace to the world. And these people need to hear this. These people knows they're under bondage, and some of them still likes that. Some people like to be told what to do. Sit down, be quiet, stand up, walk, that type of thing. I'm serious. They're walking around like children. And sometimes you have to grow up, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And God treats us as a full-grown son. And he expects us to get in this word and grow, and we grow together. That's why we meet corporately here. We're growing together, guys. Many of you have been in this message for a long, long time. The people out there listening have been listening for a long, long time. It never gets old. And you have to continue to renew your mind with things, because life changes, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Every day you get a little older. You know, we was talking about these restrooms. They're not opening up. And you're like, why not? You know, well, we don't have staffing. We mistakenly went to Arby's there not too long ago. And you couldn't get into the... They had 6 or 7 people in there working, but they won't open up the counter because why? They don't want to clean. Sherry's like this. Sherry's in the industry, but I'm saying that's what they told me. We don't have the staff to clean the place up. We don't have, so I'm thinking it's a staffing issue, but what I'm saying is, what are we doing about it? You're overcoming a little bit, you're making decisions still. I know not to knock on that door, because they're not going to open that door. But our door's open, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, with the gospel that we have today, it's all man's gospel. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in. And if you want to help with the ministry, we have a donate button, or you can call us. Our number's on there. We have our P.O. Box 592, Cambridge, Ohio, 43725, if you want to write us. But we'd love to listen, hear you, or hear from you. And until next week.